Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. Well, you know, making end of life a beautiful experience. I mean, that's part of private practice day in and day out. And joining us is our wonderful colleague and my good friend, Colleen Ellis in the house. How are you, my friend?
Hello, I'm even better now. Even better now. Love this.
Well, you know, if you haven't sat or listened to Colleen, by the way, listeners, please do, because I know sometimes you think end of life care, of course, there's emotional attachment to it. It's serious. But I just want to give you a real special shout out because you do an incredible job speaking about it. I know our wonderful friend, Mary Gardner. Shout out to you, Mary. We love you.
Yes, we love her.
You both have this incredible energy about you and speaking about subject matter that can maybe be, you know, somewhat very serious. And again, we'll talk more about that in a moment, but I just want to thank you for being such a great educator in this space.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, it's the one win of life. And if we can crescendo everything that we've done through our entire life or crescendo our relationship with our pets, at the end of it, we want to say the end is perfect, Adam.
Yes.
The end is perfect.
Yes, it is. It's the most memorable aspect of owning our pet is that moment right there. So
yes.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, in 2004, you experienced a loss of your dog, Miko.
Mm-hmm.
And which guided you to start Pet Angel Memorial Center. So tell us about that.
You know, when she died, I was in the human funeral industry, and she was approaching the end of her life. In my head, Adam, I thought, you know what? I want a little place that does it like I know we do for people. And it's at the end of it, it's what she deserved and it's what I deserved. I wanted her body treated respectfully. I wanted her treated respectfully. I wanted to be treated like I just lost a family member, which is what she was to me. And I kind of thought, you know, I think there's other people like me. There's other people that have little pets that are treated like family members. We call them our kids. We give them all the things a kid, you know, a skin kid gets. And she just happened to be a fur kid, but I treated her like my skin kid because that's what she deserved. And for her entire life, she got the best of everything, Adam. She got the best of everything. And so when it came to her death, in my head, I felt like it should be exactly the same in death as it was in life. And so that's what I wanted to create. That's what I created. I created a place that honored end of life. It honored the pet and the dignified and respectful care of their body and their memory. And I held and I made space for those shattered hearts. And I held them in my hand as they honored this life that they had just shared with maybe an animal that they were the only ones that loved them and they loved back. And I wanted to be able to give that the reverence that it deserved.
Well, it's beautiful. Well, thank you for doing that. In addition to all these wonderful hats that you wear, you've also released a book called Pet Parents, A Journey Through Unconditional Love and Grief. And you've also co-authored with our friend, Dr. Gardner, two children's books focused on dog and cat loss called Forever Friend, which I have, by the way, and it's fantastic. Congratulations on those books.
Thank you. Thanks. You know, they're the first one, because I knew nothing about writing a book. And man, I got a whole new appreciation for authors after that book was written. But it was, I never birthed a child, but it was like birthing two.
Yes.
It was 18 months of love and pouring my heart out. And if I, you know, I should go back and read that book again, Adam, because then it would probably be like, oh, we need a little revision of that. But its purpose at my time at that place in my life, its purpose was to continue to do what I was hoping to do, which was to change the narrative on how pet death care was handled, not only from the emotional aspect but the physical aspect, and to educate our colleagues, Adam, in the space to say, listen, this is an important loss, you know. And I tell you, I don't know how you are, but what I hate to hear is I lost a dog 3 years ago and I can never get another one again. It just hurt too bad. Mm-hmm. And you know what that really says to me? It says to me that they didn't get the support. They didn't get the permission. They didn't get the affirmation. They didn't get somebody making space for their shattered heart. And I just that was too much for me to bear. And so what I wanted to put my heart into with that book was to give people the permission to ask questions, the permission to do what they needed to do to honor that sweet little animal, whatever it was, snake, bird, dog, cat, llama, I don't care. But honor the life you shared. And I wanted to give pet parents the permission to do that, the stories of others who had done that, and our colleagues a little bit of permission to let people do what they needed to do.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And thank you for sharing that, because it's true. Sometimes we hear that often, actually. Like, I'll never get another one. I'll never get another one. And it's certainly exactly a good description of what they're probably going through at that time. So
Yeah, well,
thank
and
you
it's
for.
so easy. It's so easy to be shamed with the
Yeah.
loss of an animal, you know, and you've got, roughly 70% of our population who owns a pet. Well, that means 30% don't get us. And
Right.
so you say, I lost my dog to one of those 30%, and I'm probably going to get, a snarky comment back. And that's not exactly what I need at that point when all I need is support and permission. I want to talk about the book that Dr. Gardner and I wrote together, the two books. We call them children's books. But you just saw me air quote that, and it's really family books. It's for you to sit down with a child, and for you as a mom or as a dad or whatever to go through with your child these emotions that you're having, and to really normalize the grief journey, and to normalize the emotions, and to normalize what we want to do to honor the time that we as a family spent with that animal. So we want that book to really be taken in that context. And Adam, it's a beautiful book to start to work on together before that animal actually dies, because it really helps as a family. How do we honor that life? And what can we do as we approach the day and even the days after that we can say, this is a chapter of our life that we loved as a family together?
Yeah, it is. That's beautiful. Thank you for having those books. It reminds me, there is a friend of mine, a client as well. I took care of his dog many years. He had a golden retriever as a truck driver, and it was just him and his golden. And unfortunately, she passed away, and it was the hardest thing he has ever been through. It still is to this day. And he didn't have a support system. It just triggered what you were talking to me about this, because he goes to his, co-workers, and they're like, oh, come on, just get over it. We got to go. We got to go. Do you know, to this day, Colleen, he holds on to that tuft of hair with the ribbon every day in his pocket when he drives. He has to have it with him. And if he can't find it, it's almost like he said, it's like holding his keys and his wallet, his phone, and the hair. He's got to have it. And I just think, because we're talking about that end of life care, beautiful experience, he said, if it wasn't for that tuft of hair, I don't know if I would be alive here today.
Oh,
Right?
it's big. It's big, isn't it, Adam?
It's so huge. Tell us about that beautiful experience of end of life.
And here's what I like about that story that you just shared is that he took the strength and he said, listen, whatever y'all are saying to me, forget it. This dog was everything to me. And it's important to me to have a tuft of hair, to have my strength for the day in this touchstone. That's basically what it is. It's a touchstone that he holds, and it gives him the strength to make it through the day, whether it's a reminder of the love, whether it's a reminder of a chapter of his life, whatever that is, it's that beautiful touchstone. That's that reminder. And the fact that he had the strength to say, I'm not going to listen to y'all. I'm going to do what matters to me, to honor him. And there's two stories out of that. One, darn those people for saying that to him, But secondly, for us and every one of our listeners out there, be that person that rises him up and says, I'll make space to hear about your golden retriever. Tell me about him. And you know what? Not afraid of tears. I'm not afraid of your tears. I'm not afraid of just sitting here and being with you. If nothing, here's what I say about end of life, Adam. It is the most opportune time for us to practice one of the most beautiful lessons our animals teach us, and that is the thing to just be. I mean, animals just sit there. They're not doings, right? We're human doings. We're not human beings. We're human doings. We got to do. We got to say. We got to have an opinion. We got to make it. Adam, if you're crying, I'm gonna tell you to stop crying. You gave him a good life, and you just need to, move on. And instead of saying, Hey Adam, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to make space. Yeah, and I'm going to hold those tears with you. And that's what I want every one of us on this podcast and listening to this podcast. I want you to be that person who practices that thing of just being. Just be with somebody whose heart is shattered. Make space for the tears. Make space for your own tears. You know, sometimes we can be that wonderful support to others, but when it comes to our own grief, you know, we push it down. We stay busy. We stay busy. Gotta stay busy because heaven forbid I actually feel for a minute. Heaven forbid. And so we push it down and push it down and we don't give ourselves a permission. We don't be gentle with ourselves. We push it down and we move on. Let's stop for a minute, people. Stop. Make space for it, for your own self. When grief knocks at the door, let him in. Let him in. Put a seat. Sit right here. I want you to sit down. I want to talk about it. I want to talk about it.
Yeah, I love that. And so many people experience grief, as you know, differently, and they memorialize their pets differently. So share with the listeners a little bit about that, because one thing that does irk me a little bit is when I'll see on social media somebody, I don't want to say like shaming them, but like, oh, I can't believe like they're memorializing all this stuff. They got a tattoo of their of the paw pet of the paws of the card. That's ridiculous. Like everyone experiences grief and they want to memorialize differently. So share with us more about that perspective.
Well, first of all, it's the right way to do. I mean, I got a whole lot of words I can say to what you just said to me, but we're gonna keep it refrigerator quality, aren't we?
Right. Right.
Refrigerator
Oh.
quality is what's happening here.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, opinions are like belly buttons or whatever other body part you want to assign to it. Y'all got one. Okay, y'all got one. And we have the power of the keyboard that we just love to get out there and we love to tell people why they're right or why they're wrong or why I disagree with you or whatever, instead of just saying it's yours and I wouldn't do it, but that doesn't make it wrong, okay?
Right.
It's yours. And if that's how you have to do it, and if that's what you need to do, and if that's what's important to you, then people, stand down. Stand down. You know, I'm practicing my Lenten obligation with this subject right here. And if I don't have something nice to say, I'm not going to say it, you know? And so if somebody wants to do it differently than you know what I love to do with that, Adam? I love to say, you know what? I got to tell you something. I love what you're doing there. It's not for me, but I love that. Share with me. Why did you choose to do that? Why was that important to you? What did he mean to you that caused you to do that thing? You know, to honor him. What, why, help share that story with me. I want to hear it. I'm a big believer of these three words when it comes to this subject. Tell me more. Tell me more about that.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
It's part of their storytelling that they want to share with you. They do it because they want to memorialize and they want to share with you their experience. And I want to flip this too and think of it from the clinic's perspectives and how we can elevate our clinic's game in the space of end of life. Because again, there's so many options that are out there, so many things that we can do. So in your experience, what are some things that we can do in 2026 and onward that we can do to help elevate that and make it nice and beautiful?
Well, a couple of things. Let's go thing number one. I'm going to say three things. Let's go thing number one. Okay. I want to speak to the leadership of the clinics. People, listen to me. Not everybody is wired for this thing called death. Okay. And we talk and I'm just going to throw it out there because I have my opinions on this and it's a whole nother podcast between you and I, but we broad brush this thing with compassion fatigue. Okay. However, let's unpack this a minute. It's probably more so that is not something that I am good at. It's not something I'm comfortable with. And so when you make me do it all day long, meaning you send me in that room to sit with somebody like me, Adam, who's extra, I am way extra. I'm a strong cup of coffee when it comes to my animals and the care and the emotion of that. I'm a bunch, okay? And we know in our field we've got a lot of introverts, okay? Well, all day long, if an introvert is coming in and they're dealing with a strong cup of coffee like me, that's exhausting. It's exhausting. because you're not, it's not your cup of tea. All right? It's not. So first of all, leadership. Segment your team. Segment your team. You know what happens when I go into a clinic and I do a lunch and learn on pet loss and grief? Invariably, Adam, I've got one, two, three people that come up to me and they go, everybody here thinks I'm weird because I love sitting with those families. And I'm like, you're not weird. That's
Yeah.
just how you're wired.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Gardner and I, all day, every day is what we, it fills my bucket. Okay. So, first of all, segment your team and get the ones that are comfortable with it. Because when you're dealing with a strong cup of coffee like me, I need you to be comfortable with it. Okay, I need you to be comfortable with emotion. I need you to be comfortable with silence. I need you to be comfortable with everything going on in that room. Okay, there's number one. Number two, let's pull those people and let's train them. Let's train them on how to be more aware of options. Okay, and I'm going to give you one, and I don't want you to fall off your chair. I want you to sit right there and stay with me. I am adamant about either A, taking my dogs home, or B, keeping them at home after they die. It is my opportunity in what we learned in the human funeral industry about a visitation, which is the opportunity to back up and say hello as we prepare to say goodbye. I need that time. When I'm sitting in that clinic and that just happened, and all of a sudden it's like, we're gonna need this room, okay? We're gonna need this room. So let's say a final goodbye. Let's give a final kissy and I need you to clear, okay? And I'm not ready yet. I am not ready. Send that animal home. Send him home. Honestly, I'll bet you 10 to 1 that you're gonna get nasty grams and people are falling off of their chairs or pulling their cars over right now. Nasty grams. Listen, give me a minute to catch my breath and to back up and say hello as I prepare to say goodbye. So as we look forward into 2026 and beyond, I want you to think different. I want you to be different. I want you to act different. I want you to think outside of the box and to say, listen, this was pretty sudden. How about we do this? Let me get him ready and I'm going to send him home. I had a mom one day, the little dog did not bode well with the coyote the night before. And I got the little dog, little tiny, little chihuahua, and I cleaned her up. And mom was doing what moms do, just take her. I'll tell the kids when they get up, it wasn't good. And I said, no, ma'am, I'm going to take her home. I'm going to set her up. I'm going to put some flowers with her. And when the kids get up and you tell them, then they're going to have the opportunity to say goodbye. Adam, do you know it was 2 days later before she called and said, we're ready. Come get her. And she tells me to this day, Adam, she said, if you would not have insisted on that, I don't know how the kids would have dealt with that. I think it would still be this. It hurts. Don't get me wrong. All right. I'm not saying that it was a closure thing, or I'm not saying that it made him happy. Okay, don't get me wrong. What it did is it helped that open wound and to say, we got to say goodbye. We got to bring her flowers. We got to bring her treats. We got to write her letters. We got to talk to her. We got to do all that stuff. We backed up and said hello as we prepared to say goodbye. Give him the opportunity. Give him that. Did I give you
Nice.
three things? I feel like I
I
gave you
think
two.
that was three.
I
I'm
think
thinking of
it
my.
felt three-ish.
Yeah, it's three. We round up. It's fine.
Yeah, ish. Yeah, I'm a big ish girl. Yeah.
Right. And as we're closing, the two words that we kind of need to decipher, because it happens, I think they get overlapped a lot. Palliative care and pet hospice. Are they the same? Are they different? And if so, how?
You know, and then you can throw in there some pain management,
Yeah.
you know, because that can actually start a little earlier that we get into some pain management, then we get into some palliative that, you know, helps them a little bit further with additional medicine, you know, medicinal things. And as we get into pet hospice, the other thing we have to remember out of two things. Ooh, I love my numbers, don't I? Number one, death is not a failure. Death is not a failure.
Say that
Okay.
louder, by the way, because
Yeah, death. I want to screech. Death is not a failure. It is
yes.
not a failure. It is a part of life. And number two, there will reach a point that we need to move from cure to care. And so as we mix in hospice, palliative, pain management, now I am fully on the end of life walk. And now we're in the window. Okay, now we're in the window that our veterinarian has said to us, anytime now is the right time. Okay, because that eliminates the finite time of did I do it at the right time? It's not a finite time. It is a time in the window. And any time in the window is the right time. And we just, whether it's a quality of life scale, whether it's a pain management scale, whatever it may be, we need to say we've moved from cure to care. And now I just need to get all of us ready. I need to create my final memories, my final photos, my final bucket list, whatever it is you're going to do. And we need to move to the time, okay, to the time where we can say, you know what? He had a perfect ending. He had a perfect ending that totally crescendoed the amazing life we shared. He had a perfect ending.
What a send off you want to do. I say this to the listeners, you tuning in as well, watching some video, as I can't remember. I have in my closet over here, I probably have hundreds of thank you cards from the sympathy cards that I've written. And I'll get some thank you cards from other things too, surgeries and emergencies and so forth. But the most, by far, and I know all of you on this would agree that it's usually the end of life care. It's that memorable. It's that impactful. And it's my why. It's why I keep those thank you cards, right? It's why I keep going. And so I hope and I encourage you tuning in that you are writing sympathy cards to your clients, handwriting, being specific, remembering and sharing a beautiful memory because, we lose them too. I had a client. I was his. I, there was a moment, there was a dachshund I took care of her entire life, and she ended up, obviously, I had to put her down when she was 18. I was hysterical, Colleen. Like, she had to calm me down. She's like, it's okay. She's going to the right place. You taught me all this, Dr. Crispin. I know, but because you're so part of it. I mean, I've been to her house. Like, she's been to my wedding. Like, so it's just like this whole thing come, at the full circle at the very end. But the fact that we celebrate them and that we do this, it's such a gift with what we do in this profession. It is such a beautiful, unbelievable gift that we can do this. And that's why I wanted to have you on this show to talk about that, because you have this beautiful way of describing how precious it is, how sacred, and also how beautiful it is. So I just want to applaud you for that. But I
Thank
write a
you.
thank you card. This is my
Yeah,
tangent.
well, and if you know, I know we're wrapping up our time together, but I got to
Yeah.
tell you, you just made a comment that I hope everybody grabbed onto. And your comment was, I was crying, she had to calm me down. And I got to tell you, I think that's a big thing. I hear a lot of times when I go in and I do lunch and learns, it's like, I don't want to cry in front of the family. I said, you know what? I got to tell you, I need you to cry in front of me because I want you to know you loved him like I did. And I need
Bingo.
to know that we're in this thing together. So kudos to you for that, Adam. That was
Thank you.
huge what you just said. And if
Thank
we
you for
don't,
calling.
you know what happens? We freaking explode. Because all
Yes.
day, every we explode. We
Thank you.
explode.
Do you know how many vets that I'll talk to that they're white knuckling driving home, taking it out on their significant others? Don't talk to me. I had a terrible day. Talk to the pet parent. They're there with you. You're human, because the reason why we got into this profession is because we experience true love with our pets. We're pet parents at the end of the day. So I think that's what makes this bond even more beautiful, that you can be transparent and vulnerable and still be a doctor and practice good medicine. I just think my success in private practice was being vulnerable. Number one, I didn't know everything, Colleen. I don't know how to do a TPLO, but I knew somebody who can. But communicating and being there for them, oh, I'm telling you, it's
Huge,
what really what
absolutely huge.
resonates.
You know what? Let's elevate that one more level. Imagine at the end of the day, imagine on a Friday, you take the clinic dart for 5 minutes and everybody stands around in a circle and says, this week we released Buddy and we released Fluffy and we released Fido. And what an honor it was for us to do that. What an honor it was for us to walk that journey with that family and to be called in to do that. Imagine that. And sit when we honor death, we honor life. You have
Yes.
to honor it. You have to.
You have to honor it.
Have
Love it.
to. Oh, I could go
Well,
on for
I know we can
days.
go on forever, but before we go, we have to say, because some of you might be saying, wait, what does IAAHPC stand for? So, Colleen, please tell us as we wrap it up. I'm so sorry.
No, good, all good. We get going. International
Yeah.
Association for Animal Hospice and Palliative Care. A group of amazing members that this is all they're dedicated to is this right here.
Yes. And where can they learn more about it?
IHPC.org.
There it
Come
is.
find us, come see us. We've got resources, we've got anything and everything to help with the end of life journey. And we're here to make that be the best it can be.
You're fantastic. Thank you so much for being on the
Yeah.
show, and thank you for all you do.
Thank you. I appreciate you and the education. It's awesome.
It's our honor. Thank you. Thank you for our listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate the podcast. Make sure you follow Colleen, or if you happen to see her at a show or a conference, sit in her sessions. You'll thank me later. We'll
Love
see you
that.
next time. You're welcome, right here on the
Thank
Vet
you.
Blast podcast. Take care, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum.